The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network. VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, SiriusXM channel 158. It's Gil Alexander. Kelly behind the glass because Fezzik Fridays is about to happen. We get tweets at being the book, though. Want to get through some of these. Y'all are the best. This is from Gizzy. Is it Gizzy or 1344? He says, Gil, good luck with the head, chest, cold. I've had three different meds, then just gave up, finally getting better since November 7th. Though I feel great. This three-day thing in and out, but I appreciate it. By the way, shout out Jay Sullivan in Boston, who heard me struggling with my cold a couple days ago, and he Amazons me four boxes of Puffs with Vicks VapoRub inside the tissue. You know that brand that they have. Thank you, Jay. It's like the nicest thing ever. Just sends me tissues from Boston. Max Wright, Signetti, definitely Chet from Weird Science. That's his comparison. John Massey, how does the NFL not know their own tiebreakers and isolates the quote-unquote NFC South title game on Saturday when if Tampa wins, the division is still dependent on a Sunday game? They did not anticipate that at all, but I guess you're right. They knew that before they put that game on Saturday. You're right. I mean, it doesn't really make sense at this point. But I guess they had to come up with two on Saturday. So that one had more relevance than the others, I suppose, he says with a question mark. Colin Murphy, you're on point with the Gatorade takes today. Cool Blue will forever taste like a hangover and or illness, and Glacier Cherry is the top dog. Kelly, I saw Third Eye Blind a couple years ago. They were awesome. Paulie looks like Brent Venables, he says. Jeffrey S. DeVore, Kyle Trask now with Atlanta, one play away from being the quarterback that can also keep Tampa from making the playoffs. Thank you for that, Jeffrey. Jed O'Connor, last year big game Sam had to play top 10 defenses on the road. He may have fell flat on his face, but this year he gets a porous Niners D. They should be able to get what they want on offense as long as Kubiak doesn't suffer from major shrinkage. Johnny Ringo, holding on to a plus 450 on Steve Fezzik being the first dump button of the new year. Please bring Starbucks food up. Thanks in advance. Happy New Year. Hold that thought, Johnny Ringo. And JC, as a Baydestrian, I'm going to need you to be a little more pro-Niners, Gil. Happy New Year's, fellas. Okay, I'll work on it. And Blue Hen Bill, when I've got a cold and I can't stand that my ears are clogged on stage and I can't tell if I'm low-talking or screaming because I can't hear what I'm saying. Oh, yeah, that's a thing. I get that with the airplane, too. Ladies and gentlemen, based on that tweet from Johnny Ringo where he says, please bring Starbucks food up. Seems like a good time to bring Fezzik in for Fezzik Fridays. Let's do it.
Whether it's at the sportsbook or anywhere else in the casino, he's always helping us find an edge. It's time for Fezzik Fridays.
As if on cue, proud sponsor of the show, Starbucks. You got yourself a big old Starbucks today.
So right here, Todd, go get one. Vanilla sweet cream cold brew from Starbucks. I like it with the vanilla foam, which adds 150 calories, and a little hack. I also will go ahead after I drink a little bit of it. I've got like the little espressos that I buy from the store, and I'll pour in an espresso on top of it.
Todd is legitimately mad at you
for
introducing this to him because he will tell you that he has an eating disorder, and now he can't stop having these.
Great. It's 130 calories. You can have like 14 of them. Just don't eat.
Okay, he might have 14 of them is the problem.
Great. Don't eat anything else. Hey, shout out Stormy. Made a big case for Starbucks and even their food.
She was not happy with your original take on Starbucks food.
Well, I pretty much agree. Whenever Stormy argues with JVT,
yeah,
I consider myself to be the most unbiased person in the world. But let's just say Stormy's crushing JVT last year in these debates.
Steve Fezzik, everybody, right here on the numbers game. At Fezzik Sports. Follow at your own peril. Hey, can we talk about your let's be serious for a second here. You are in what place in Circa Millions?
Tied for 17th.
If you were to finish 17th.
Big trouble.
If you were to finish 17th, what's the money on that?
I don't know. 30,000?
A pittance, as you would say.
You know, and I lost. I don't want to complain because I've run good.
Yeah.
I lost the Bills, as you know, and then I lost the Bears. Now, the Bears was a coin flip, but the Bills was right there.
Yeah.
That was rough.
Okay. So what's the how many points behind the leader are you?
Five. So I'm done.
So you're not going to win it.
But if I could roll a 5-0, I could still finish top five. I'm still, you know, it's cluttered. The board's very, very congested.
So is there a strategy
for you here, or like, do you, so in a normal week, if this were week seven, you would play the five that you would normally play based on however you're normally playing stuff. What's the strategy here in the final week, knowing that you're in this position?
You're spot on, and there is a lot of reasons to do different strategies. But, you know, last time I did this, it's like Westman Stratton came on in the VSiN Invitational. He's like, oh, based upon what Fezzik said he was taking, I'm going to do this.
Right.
So I'm not going to disclose
it. So you're not going to disclose it, which is the proper answer because the other 16 probably aren't on
and,
a
and
show.
Shout out to Weston for maybe he's absolutely correct to take advantage of that. Yes.
But there's a you have a general take on this, which I think is pretty interesting, which you're saying. So as the years have gone on, whether it's Survivor, but in these millions contests, whether it's here at Circa or Westgate, who of course did their super contest for many, many years before, the more people that are in this, what's been the impact? You say the major impact on you here?
Oh, well, it depends what place you're in, of course.
Right.
But there hits a point where, see, back in 2008 when I was competing against three people in my mom's attic, you know, there's so few people in these contests. It was so easy to win, and no one cared about CLV and, like...
See, boys and girls, that's Steve mocking the people who mock him. Just wanted to translate for
right,
you.
But the truth is that everyone just picked who they liked. So if they liked the Packers, they didn't care what the point spread is. They just bubbled Packers and just submitted on Friday. And so now what's happened is that there's so many... And this is happening with Survivor also... that the level of play has risen so much that, you know, when everyone is chasing the CLV, let's say you're a little bit out of the money, you should take the five best plays and go oppo because, you know, if you go 5-0, you're going to move up to like 80th place. It's not going to mean anything. You're better off just throwing a Hail Mary and you can move up severely if there's a lot of upsets versus, you know, the consensus plays.
Yeah, or as you put it at another time, I was trying to find your exact quote. Contests with more and more entries make sense, but the problem is it forces you to play less and less optimally, is what you're saying.
Pursuant to Survivor, why not have 500 entries in Survivor? It's plus EV. Well, the problem is if you tie with yourself, it hurts you. So you have to take different navigation paths, and each path becomes progressively slightly less optimal and difficult to keep track of. And like, it's fascinating. We're obviously six people left. Shout out to Jeff Benson and Derek Stevens, and what a tremendous Survivor
year.
It's
the greatest contest ever.
Greatest contest ever. So there's six guys left. I already know who they're all going to take. So it's
we broke it down the other day.
Oh, interesting.
If we have that graphic, you can show Fez also, because it's pretty clear.
Jacksonville.
The guy who has Jacksonville has
New
to
England.
Take Jacksonville. The guy who has New England has
Cincinnati.
To take Cincinnati. And then the other four have different options.
There's four dudes that are all going to, like, they're going to have islands. And then two guys are going to wind up taking Minnesota, because going to say, well, one guy has to take Atlanta. Ouch. But
one guy does have to take Atlanta.
But two guys are going to have to choose between Atlanta and Philly. And one guy can be on an island in Washington, but I'm sure he'll do the work. And he'll be like, you know what? Having an island when there's three people left and I can scoop the whole thing is great. You're not going to scoop. Jacksonville's probably not going to lose, you know? New England's probably not going to lose.
Here you go, Steve. This is from our earlier Survivor segment from earlier in the week. You'll see these are the six. This is from K Florenz, one on Twitter. Mm-hmm. These are all the teams that are available to the remaining six entrants in Circuit Survivor. As you'll see, the bottom person, Real Bro 3, Jacksonville is their play. They're the only one with Jacksonville left. And then number two there, Gary A10, they're the only one with New England left. So those are the green check marks for those two.
And then you're going to get a Cincinnati, and you're going to get an Atlanta.
You got an Atlanta up top. That's his only play.
Right.
Right, Dylan W10. But the three there, the Juicy Coochie 7, Kick Your Knees Up 1, and Parts 1-9, I guess it's a choice. Atlanta versus Minnesota, I guess.
Well, Minnesota's an 8-point favorite. Of course they're going to take Minnesota. They're not going to go all the way to the end and take a 3-point when they got an 8 favorite.
Well, see, now you're putting on your Stevie Fezzik braid, and what's clear to you is not necessarily clear to others.
I'll bet you even money that's going to be the distribution
I don't know these people. I'm not betting you. I'm just telling you that
you're
way too sure about other people's behavior.
Right,
so
what I would bet is it's going to be New England, Jacksonville, Cincinnati, Atlanta, and two Minnesotas. Right now, I would bet even money against anyone. By the way, obviously, if you if you have one of these entries, you're going to go not take Minnesota. The only question is the two people, will they both take Minnesota or will one of them go rogue? And it's possible they go rogue.
You're still playing Max Brosmer, right? I mean, I didn't miss that part.
Is Nine possibly going to play? Is McCarthy possibly?
Maybe. I don't know what the latest is.
I think McCarthy might play.
He may play.
I think he actually 60%.
Let me just ask you a last thing about contests, because I know we want to talk about the college football quarters next segment.
But you're right. Someone could go rogue.
Someone could absolutely go
rogue.
They
could.
Come on.
People like islands. They like to be on an island. But the island isn't going to help you. You're not going to be able to win. You're not going to be able to scoop. There's too many other islands.
Some islands are prettier than others.
Yes.
You know?
3-hour tour.
St. Barts is more beautiful than Montserrat. Pardon me to the folks in Montserrat who are listening. Real quick, Circa Survivor, you in past years have jumped in late to invest and advise in some folks who are down late, you know, who are alive late. I was with you for a lot of that. You were a mess going through this, telling the advising, frustrated by what your opinion was that was taken, that was adopted. And some that weren't.
Maybe not frustrated, but just there's a whole lot of work, a whole lot of stress.
And that's what I mean. And I guess my question is, are you thrilled that you weren't involved in that this year?
Absolutely, because I was already sick the past week. And you know what? Everything crashes and burns, the gathering of the clouds, and then the clouds burst. You've got the holidays. You've got the commitments. Then you've got your other contests, and you've got Survivor, and it's like multi-millions of dollars. And it's like, and you're doing your normal work, and it's like the equinox of December, and it's just so hard.
Yeah. Apologies to Montserrat, by the way. I've been there.
Threw them under the bus.
Yeah, I know. They had a volcano erupt. I shouldn't. Yeah, it's not really fair.
Forestell's not very pretty either.
What's that?
Forestell.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh,
now Aruba's
just, now
better.
Now you just took down somebody else. Come on, Stevie. More with Fezzik on the other side. It's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network. You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. Visa Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with Visa Pro.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Start the new year off as a better. That's E-R-O-R. With a VSiN Pro subscription, it's final week to save 50% off the regular monthly price with our holiday special. Sign up now and get VSiN Pro access through May 1st for just $79, including daily best bets, real-time betting slits from DraftKings and Circa, AI-powered prop tools, and 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app, covering everything from the college football playoffs and NFL playoffs to March Madness and the Masters. Plus, you'll receive our college football playoff betting guide, complete with expert brackets, see Mackinon's power ratings, CFP and bowl best bets, and previews for every bowl game. Start the new year with an edge. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Pardon me. Had to get that out. By the way, we have deep thoughts with Chris Foster back there behind the glass. Not happy with your Curaçao slander. Let me just point that out.
Interesting. I mean, it's a beautiful, the ocean's beautiful there.
The ocean.
And there's actually like a little fort restaurant that was spectacular. Hey, it's been, you know what? It's been 30 years since I've been there. So
it's been a long time since I've been in Aruba, too. When I was in Aruba, there's two problems with Aruba. The wind, right? The tree is the Bonbini tree, right? They have so much wind on the beach that it's tough to deal with. Mm-hmm. And at that time, they had the second largest like desalination plant in the world. So if you got so much as a drop of water in your eye from the ocean, you spent like 5 minutes rubbing out your... Yes.
You know, I just remember the culture being so relaxed. Like I would go to dinner and dinner was supposed to be like an hour and a half and I wanted to eat like in 20 minutes. So like I would literally, they'd bring my entree and I'd say, can you bring the check?
Come on,
because
man.
I knew I wouldn't get it for another 40 minutes.
Enjoy the culture.
And they looked
culture.
At me like, who is this gringo American crazy guy?
We get tweets at Beating the Book. Not sure they would say gringo there, but that's another story.
Yeah.
Billy Charlebois, spot on. JVT, Stafford has beaten Seattle, San Francisco, Jacksonville, and Houston. Drake May lost to the Raiders and is maybe one quality win. MVP to Stafford. This from a Seahawks fan. That's Billy Charlebois chiming in once again. This is from, let's see here. Oh, sorry. This is from Josie714. Oh, let me save that one for you. Here's one more before then. Jason McKinney. TRH golfer, says, I'd like to make the following motion to amend the bylaws of the Beating the Book contest, the Megapod. The guest chair can be deemed the champion if their winning percentage is the highest. The regular host can only be identified as the division winner if their winning percentage is not higher than the guest chair. Jason, it's adopted. I know I tell Todd it's his podcast, but it's a dictatorship.
Hey, Todd is the Tulane champion, you know? Hey.
That's right.
Congratulations, Tulane. You made it.
All right. I got two questions on Twitter for you, sir. Money Gun Guz, who's ahead of you in millions.
Love the Money Gun Guz. He's been kicking butt in millions. He was like, I think he and everyone else was like 14 games ahead of me. I was below 500 in this thing.
He's in the top 10 right now, I believe.
Yeah, he's right there.
Yeah. He says, can you ask Fez, bankroll no problem for me, sitting in ninth place. What would he say is a good bet per game if I'm going opposite of my millions plays? Thank you.
Right. So he's at, like I just said, my like as 17th place, I'm like at 30,000. I think he's at 100,000. Okay.
Yeah.
So that's only a one game difference. So you could make a case, you know, each game is probably worth, you know, up or down the money scale, maybe 50,000. So you can make a case, bet 25,000 would be where you'd be about. Think about that. If you were in Money Gun Guz's position, you said, all right, I'm going to hedge and I bet 25,000 on the first game. Do you want to lose or win that first game? I think you still want to win it. I think 25,000 would be a slightly inadequate hedge. Slightly.
Slightly inadequate hedge.
Yeah, but it depends what everyone else plays. If you play what everyone else is playing, then you don't even need to hedge, you know?
Right.
If in a bizarre world where everyone would play a game. Yes.
It's tough with five games, though, right?
Yes.
Like to figure
out. But off the top of my head, at least 25,000 if you want to just be totally indifferent to whether you win. And you know, Abrams wrote that great book, But How Much Did You Lose is the name of the book. And he talks about this, but you don't have to hedge the whole way. You can just throw 10,000 on the oppo side of the games, you know, if you want to go ahead and monetize some of your standing.
Here's a great question. I'd like to know the answer to this as well. Joe C714, Southern California, says, with all the changes starting in 2026, is Caesar's Diamond still worth it?
Yes, because, I haven't reviewed all the changes, but as long as you can go to the Bahamas for free.
Is that still a thing?
That was still a thing this year that, but boom, if you're a platinum, you can go and stay at the Bahamas, not at the exclusive tower, but just getting a free vacation, especially if you're on the East Coast. How nice is that? Just go down to the Bahamas and, you know, sleep there and take an Uber over to Bahar Mar and hang out there for the day. And the water park's very nice there.
The other one was a fake Fezzik question. Was, can you ask Fezzik if he could do the EV math for us regarding the Upside app? That's a commercial for that's for another day.
For the gas?
It's a joke question. All right, I want to ask you about the college football playoff yesterday. First, about just the number of teams in it, 12 teams. Your thoughts on expansion?
So I remember when we had two teams. People were like, oh, it's going to ruin it to go to four. You know, people love the status quo.
Well, we used to have no teams, right? Then we got to
people love the status quo. They always argue against change. They're like, old man, get off the lawn. And I get it. The NBA has a couple too many teams in the playoffs because they have more than half the teams making the playoffs. But in general, it's almost always correct. When you're expanding and the vast majority of teams are still missing the playoffs, it's almost always correct in baseball or the NCAA tournament to do the expansion. And this year really illustrated it. If BYU beats Texas Tech, Miami, Florida don't get in.
Well, not only them.
And Notre Dame doesn't get in.
And Ole Miss might. There was a scenario where
Because of that, this is the year you could say, you know what, obviously we should have minimum standards. No one wants to see poor little James Madison getting pounded like I do against Todd on the tennis court. You know, leave Stevie out of the tennis playoffs. But take your top 16 teams. If you want to put the little guys in, say, look, you got to be in the top 20.
Yeah, it's really true. And again, let's make a distinction between basketball and football. What we love about basketball, what we love about March Madness is in the first weekend, the first two rounds, we love the Cinderella upset.
Loyola.
Right? We love
11
that.
Seed.
And in basketball, the nature of basketball is such that a fundamentally sound team that can shoot the threes, right, can beat a far more talented team, if you will.
A fundamentally unsound team can make their threes. That's, like that NC I mean. State team.
Or the better team can miss their... It can happen, right?
The University of Dayton with Roosevelt Chapman, who couldn't play a lick, made the Elite Eight. He could play, but he was a you know, he was a good college player, nothing more.
Football is a different animal, right? We acknowledge that you can't go 64 deep on this. I mean, you could, but it'd be stupid, right?
Right.
But to your point, there is a sweet spot that I don't think we've gotten to, and I think the sweet spot is 16. Because, and I made this point when we were, when I was, you know, I bet Miami on Kalshied to make the playoffs. That hit at plus 450, and part of my reasoning was the games have to matter, right? It was a whole thing, and finally it did, and that was awesome for those who bet that. However, none of them should have, like Notre Dame should have been in there, right? All these teams, BYU probably should have been in there. And as long as you only, and I get it, people are going to say, yeah, but you know, you're going to debate then who the 17th team is. Okay, but my point was at the time, in college basketball, how long do we actually spend debating the 69th team? We spend maybe a minute and a half doing it. Right,
right? But an 8 seed can win the tournament, and this year, like Notre Dame could have won the tournament.
That's right.
The number 17 team in the country cannot win the tournament.
So I guess what I'm saying is the difference between 12 and 16 is that debate will minimize, right? Mm-hmm. Obviously 69 in basketball, I'm just using it as an example, as an extreme. The debate, the length of that debate will minimize. To an extent, there'll still be some debate over which, you know, 17 versus 16, like who is the team that got snubbed, but it won't be nearly as ferocious as it is now.
By the way, why can't we have more than one of these games at the Rose Bowl? It's clearly the best venue.
It is glorious.
It's just so stupid that we would like have games in New Orleans and Atlanta instead of having multiple games week after week at the Rose Bowl.
How about Wes Reynolds, Indiana fan, right? This is, and I said this earlier with Kelly, this story about Indiana football cannot be stressed enough how unbelievable this is.
You know, it's funny is I've got this longstanding disagreement with Scott Seidenberg, who brings up some great points at like way down the Heisman. All these guys sucked this year versus prior years and the like. No one's going to remember who won the Heisman. Au contraire.
We'll remember.
If Indiana wins the national championship,
oh, yeah.
I said Larry Bird 1979, and he only made the finals. So as long
That's
as
right.
Indiana makes the finals, everyone will remember Mendoza because this little tiny Big Ten sweet program, Indiana basketball school. This is crazy. I can see Alan Boston's head exploding because he always says, you know, Indiana, like in basketball, he would say like the University of Dayton can never be a top 10 team. They're not a good enough program. And I'm sure he would do that with Indiana. He'd say they can't win the national championship. I mean, because they're Indiana, they're no good.
Yeah. It's just an amazing story. It's literally the most losses in college football history. Hadn't won the Big Ten since 1945,
They're big games to beat Purdue.
Again, they were a participation team in the Big Ten. That's what they were until Cignetti arrived. This is incredible. And now they are two games away from being not only the national champ, but a 16-0 national champ.
Nice people. You go to Michigan, they're throwing car batteries on you as you're coming out on the field versus in Indiana, like, you know, do well, play well today, you know?
Yeah.
Such nice people.
Stevie's going to join us for one more. He wants to talk about Kirby Smart from yesterday's Georgia game. He's got thoughts on that. And some other Vegas-y thoughts as well. Steve Fezzik in studio on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back on The Numbers Game, live from Circa Resort Casino, downtown Las Vegas. Gil Alexander with Fezzik Fridays, a little early today from Steve Fezzik at Fezzik Sports on Twitter. Can we agree on something before we move on here? The best commercial on TV is that State Farm commercial with that dude who's he says, "Behold my majestic stride."
Sorcery!
I love that guy.
Gil,
you okay? I am not.
Gil texted me last week. Are you okay to come on the show? I need you. I'm like, I am not.
I am not. All right. Can you give us some picks, for God's sakes? All this other stuff we're talking about? Can you
sure.
give us some actual picks?
Let's do one best bet. Let's just give a winner. All right?
Okay.
So first time ever on ANG, 10.3 team NFL teaser. First time.
I like it.
Ties loose, but you know what? It ain't going to tie because we are only going to play these when we have half point spread. So Houston, -10.5 down to -0.5.
Uh-huh.
They're going to win, Gil. New England, -10.5 down to -0.5. They'll win also.
Uh-huh.
And Denver, -12.5 down to -2.5. They'll win as well.
Interesting you didn't go to Jacksonville.
I did not go to Jacksonville because Jacksonville has inflated because That's through right. a friend, the good doctor.
Yeah.
Uh-oh. Am I in trouble? I think he likes Jacksonville. And that spread went from 12.5 to 13.5, and we're not going to lay minus 3.5 with the 10-point teaser. So Jacksonville qualified earlier in the week. In fact, I gave it to my clients before the good doctor released it.
By the way, the good doctor he's referring to is Dr. Bob, not an actual physician. But Dr. Bob, our buddy Bob,
pretty much universally by the people that I know consider Dr. Bob, they consider Billy Walters to be like number one on Mount Rushmore, sports betting Hall of Fame, slam dunk. All right. And then number two, the people that I know would put, they put Dr. Bob like on the top, certainly top eight.
Okay? He should be in the Hall of Fame. He should be in the Hall of Fame.
I mean, Roxy is passed, but I mean, how many people like literally bring all these Hall of Fame bookmakers to their knees, like, what's going on? Why are we losing so much money? Because Dr. Bob quietly is picking 60% in college football for a 2-year period.
By the way, there are four bowl games. The last four bowl games, you know, besides the semifinals, are today. Bob does not have any bets on them. He does not have any strong opinions on them. He has two leans. Would you like me to give you the leans?
Sure.
He leans Navy. And he leans the under in the Rice game, which is the first of the four games today. Leans.
Early start time. Don't get shut
That's
out.
Right.
So let me address Navy and Army. I am so stupid. Every year, I realize at the end of the year how stupid I am. All right? And so for years, I was stupid because I didn't bet the Army-Navy game to go under 51. Now it's like 37, right? Because they run this stupid option, which is a terrible offense. It's like a bad chess opening. Like anyone who knows the opening can stop it. But when you don't know the opening, you get checkmated because you haven't seen it before, all right? So, like, you play Army-Navy under, but now the word's out. Well, the armed forces, for whatever reason, I didn't get the memo, you bet there are no opt-outs. So with all this NIL and people leaving and the portal, you bet Army, you bet Navy, you bet Air Force, you bet the Coast Guard. I don't care. You know, you bet on the service academy in the bowl game, and look at what happened. Army steams from a dog to minus 8. Navy steams from a dog to minus 7. And like the good doctor still leans the Navy.
Leans, yeah.
But my point is what's that movie? Die Hard, the greatest Christmas movie ever.
Stop it.
It's like, I'm over here at Nakatomi and they're turning this point spread into Swiss cheese. I need backup now. Bet Army now.
Okay, enough. By the way, someone is murdering. Rick Olier is murdering you on Twitter. He says, Fez repping the Cubs City Connect jersey today. It's going to be a great year. Such a great call on what you're wearing. That is the Cubs
go,
City Connect
Cubs,
jersey.
Go, Cubs, go. Hey, Chicago, what do you say? Cubs going to lose today.
Okay. Kirby Smart yesterday. I talked about this in the first segment. Third and goal at the 6 with 56 seconds left. Third and goal. Oh, no, hold on. Let me get this right. No. Yeah. Third and goal at the 6 with 104 left.
Oh, dear.
Ole Miss has no timeouts left. A field goal ties it. A touchdown wins it. Third and goal at the 6 is, remember the previous play, they lost 3 yards. So 6 yards is a little, so again, obviously, optimally, you score a touchdown and you go ahead. The other way to do this is, though, if you're going to get a field goal to tie this and force overtime, you want to take as much time off the clock as possible. 6 yards is a little dicey, though, right?
Got to throw a screen to a wide receiver.
That's what I said.
Or quarterback draw. One or the other.
That's right.
Because you need tick, tick, tick. And again, you know, what's interesting, so we have a secret chat. You, me, Todd, Will Hill, and the Bear Felica. And what's interesting is we disagree on everything non-sports related.
Right.
Whether it be South American naval policies or Midwestern health care and daycare. But we agree
on
everything.
Yeah.
Everything. And like people are like, I hear this all the time. Like, oh, if you were actually on the sideline, you would just freeze up. It would be everything would be to have bull crap. It's obvious. Now, why? Because we watch every game. Every one of us in that situation, we're like, yeah, you got to keep the clock running. It's like it's just like sharp fifth grader knows this.
Such a brutal mistake.
But Kirby Smart, who's a really good coach and is great compared to his peers, he missed it. All right. And for the life of me, I can't understand. Billions of dollars are at stake here. Why can't they just hire Will Hill? They're not paying him enough at VSiN and get him to tell them what to do on these plays.
By the way, there is, I may be wrong about this, but I didn't hear one person in mainstream media questioning that decision.
And not, and the announcers never get it
never
right. The announcers
right.
have no clue, you know, in terms of what they're doing. Now, to be fair to Kirby, if he hadn't been successful on his fake punt, he would have gotten thrown under the bus. It's amazing how he did get thrown under the bus for incorrectly going for it on the fourth down and two from his 28. But if that fake punt had failed, they'd be calling for his head. But because it succeeded,
yeah.
no one says anything. And people are make fun of that lateral he had at the end of the game, which cost me money because I had it live plus three, not Will Hill, me.
Oh,
that was
you.
Me.
You had
me
it.
That lost the money.
Oh, for God's sakes.
By the way, the horrible thing about that is the ball, like the laws of, it's like my cousin Vinny, the laws of physics cease to exist. The ball is heading for the 2 yard line and then like makes a left hand turn and just nicks the pylon, or they would have said it's out at the 0.1 yard line. But the
is
point is,
what is this Ute?
The Utes. Yeah. The what's the Utes? Are you sure? But the bottom line is the fact that he tried this very clever old Music City Miracle type of lateral.
Yeah.
Like every other coach is too dumb to have a play. He had that play in his back pocket. It's the perfect play call. And of course, it went horribly wrong. But at least he tried.
One more thing here I want to talk about, because otherwise, if I leave you more time, you're going to like talk about Cheap Trick, the 70s rock band, because I know you love them so much.
Mama's all right. Daddy's all right. Oh. Just a little weird.
So sorry, everybody. The Vegas Vice says this. MGM, let's go back to casinos. MGM is introducing a highly exclusive, invite-only, side tier known as the Fountain Club. This will be for high-spending guests who may not be traditional high-roller gamblers, but instead spend significant money on dining, hotel suites, and entertainment. Las Vegas locally adds MGM Resorts figuring out how to reward and keep a growing demographic of Las Vegas visitors who spend a lot of money on, you know, luxury hotel suites, restaurants, special events like Formula One, but don't gamble enough to be considered quote unquote high rollers.
So I don't want anyone to get mad at me because I'm wrong about a lot of things.
All what? Right?
And I'm a Dumbo and I play terrible in Survivor.
Can we rack that, by the way, as Rome would say?
By the way, quick aside. So George, I love George. He's part of the Hammer Network that I don't like, but he did like a 22-minute video on Survivor. It's phenomenal. It's the best video you'll ever see. Did it with Flub, who I don't like. But these guys.
On Circus Survivor or CBS's Survivor?
It's on Survivor in general, but Circus Survivor they focused on. And Flub, I think, finished 10th, which got him zero money. That was unfortunate for him, but he played optimally and perfectly. So that's fantastic. So do check that out on Hammer Network.
See the guy that took the Commanders against Dallas?
Yes, clearly the
correct way to do it.
Highest equity
agreed
play.
Completely.
And he just played great. He hedged
it beautifully.
He's won it before. He's a great. He's got 60 entries, though. But going back to this, this was my idea. I can show you the documentation. I've been saying this for like the last year, that what the problem with Vegas is, if you're not a VIP gambler with your Diamond card or your Win Black card, you're nothing. So when you go and you check in a hotel, you got to wait an hour to get your room if you're not a gambler. Well, what they need to do is they need to recognize that the person that goes to the clubs and gets the Ace of Spades for $400 and goes to all the concerts and the Celine Dion when she was performing and is spending all this, and the Bruno Mars, and is spending all this money and going to all the restaurants and Nobu, they need to have a separate Fountain Club tier for a person like that, because they get treated like a second-class citizen, but yet they're making the casino so much money. So I know that some of the vice presidents of operations don't agree with a lot of what I might say, but they're wrong. Every casino should have been doing this for years. Like, you have a person spending all that money, they should never be waiting in line to check in. They should go to the VIP check-in.
I would imagine it's massively offensive to those people that they don't have these kind of privileges.
Exactly. So these slot playing grannies are like cutting in line going to the VIP check-ins while they have to wait an hour to get to their rooms. Terrible. Smart move by MGM.
Steve Fezzik, everybody. Thank you, Stevie. Appreciate it.
Always
a pleasure. An hour earlier today on Fezzik Fridays. Kelly will be back in the chair on the other side. We'll continue the whip around and more. A little tennis, too. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Oh.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on Numbers Game, live from Circa Resort Casino, downtown Las Vegas, Nevada. Gil Alexander, and back in his chair, now that Fez is gone, it's Kelly.
Heyo.
Kelly Bidelon, for those who don't know how to spell his name. Kelly Bidelon. We get tweets, meeting the book. James Fraction says hello. Hello, James. How you doing?
What's up, Jimmy?
At Action Surfraction. Tronsky, hey, Gil. Glad to hear you're on the mend and turning the corner. Worst take this morning, Fezzik saying that all college football playoff games should be played in the Rose Bowl. Why hold on to tradition in horrible places like Miami, New Orleans, Atlanta, and Dallas? Giant eye roll. Did he say every game or just more games at the Rose Bowl? I thought he said.
I did not catch that.
Yeah, I think he said just more games. I don't think he said every game. If he said every game, then you're right. Bluehead Bill. Oh, I did ask him this. He just asked Stevie how he felt about the third and goal play at the end of the game. Before the snap, I thought it should be a run, and if they didn't score, run the clock down and likely assure a tie. The pass left too much time on the clock. It's one of the very first things I said on the show this morning. You can blast Kirby Smart for the going for it fourth and two in their own territory, which, according to Kirby, wasn't really designed to do that. But to me, the third and goal at the six, I said top of the show, you got to throw a wide out screen at that point or something like that so that if you get tackled, it's inbounds. Easy pass that you won't drop it, right? If you get tackled, it's still in bounds and the clock rolls. That was a horrific miss on the part of the play call there. Pat Montefort. Oh, you're right about this, Pat. I hadn't thought about this. Exactly 50 years since Bobby Knight and that 1976 Indiana Hoosier team ran the table and went 32-0 for the national championship.
Huh.
Now turn it 50 years. Well, it's actually 49, isn't it? 49? I guess it's 50 because we turned the calendar anyway. Years later, we could have our first 16-0 team. Double perfection for the Hoosiers. That would be amazing. That would absolutely be amazing. And let's see. Chris Barton. Gil kind of reminds me of the guy in third base with the square haircut. Let's have a great 2026. MC Search, is that who you're talking about? Or Pete Nice? I think you're talking about Search. Well, Kelly, you got to know this stuff.
MC Search. Yeah, you look like MC Search with those glasses. MC Search stole your glasses.
Oh, look at Search today. Yeah. He really does look. Yeah, there you go.
He stole your glasses.
Yeah, back in the day, though, he had a high top.
It's actually great side-by-side pictures. Look at, back in the day.
That's amazing. Today. Oh, man. Yeah, okay. We'll have to put those up. All right, ladies and gentlemen, Kelly and I have done this for years. We used to do it on Primetime Action with Matt Brown when we did the night show. In addition to my doing a numbers game when we did Primetime Action, the greatest show to ever be canceled, we did our New Year's betting resolutions, and you've kept that tradition alive here on a numbers game, and so we thought we would take a moment to do this. And, of course, you've prepared a very nice intro, haven't you?
Oh, of course. You know me. We'll just go right to it.
Okay. Great. Should I go first?
Yeah. We're going to review last year's first. Oh. See how we did.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But let's see the similarities also. Last year, I said, bet even more tennis, continue to trust my numbers, maybe take grass season off. No, but this comes up in my new Year's resolutions for 2026, where I amend the grass season, because I didn't take the whole thing off, but I...
You went lighter.
I went
right?
lighter. Yeah, that's okay. Right.
Whatever, something you said on January 1
that's
and
right.
rolled it into the summer.
And I kept to it. Continue to exploit information-based markets like drafts and lightly bet markets like the College World Series. Yeah, although I didn't have much success doing it, though, but that's what I did.
You bet them. I don't know.
Exploit was the previous year, not that year.
Right, yeah.
Bet MLB judiciously. This is another thing that didn't work out last year, but not rampantly, especially monthly MLB best record markets. Yeah, that was a great thing in 2024, not so much in 2025, but that's what I did. Remain true to the ANG brand of betting education while keeping it light. Continue to interact with the best listeners of any show ever. Yes and yes. You want to do yours or do I go to mine now? How does this work?
Why throw up Gil's?
Okay.
We'll see. It's 2026.
So there are my 2026 New
Year's
betting
resolution. Because I think
you and I
both carried some over. Is that fair to
say? There's a bit of carry.
Yeah, a bit of carry.
The first one is, that first tennis one. Bet even more tennis. Continue to trust my numbers. Pair back grass season until Wimbledon is a happy medium that I struck. And remember, my on-fire stretch began at the end of Wimbledon last year into the hard court seasons. Okay, here's one. Incorporate more segments from prediction markets into the show or pod. Hey, you didn't see that one coming, did you, Bidley? Incorporate more segments from the prediction markets into the show or pod.
I mean, we've been doing that.
We have, but what I'm talking about is a broader incorporation of not only, hey, college football team to make the playoffs, not only which who will be the next coach. I'm talking about maybe even like, hey, is Kanye's girlfriend going to be the most Googled girl in all of 2026? That kind of thing.
Hey, anytime anyone jumps out to you, let me know. I'll throw it in.
If someone, here's number three, if someone, say, I don't know, Todd Wishnev, for example, displays a skill betting another sport, be open to tailing. Now, this is a pretty big, leap for me because I'm not a tailing kind of guy.
Mm-hmm.
But listen, there is no shame in recognizing somebody else's skill and being like, oh, I like what this kid is doing. I'm going to jump on there. And so if you can find an equivalent to that in whatever sport, someone you respect, someone you trust, yeah, hell yeah, I'll tail. And Wishnev has gotten me to do that with his college hoops for sure. Carl Sack in basketball is another one I consider as well. Here's one that the NCAA formula folks will appreciate. Consider the inclusion slash exclusion of the previous Sweet 16 coaching experience stipulation from the college basketball formula. Why does this come up? Because, remember, it used to be the only exception that used to be Kevin Ollie back in 2014 UConn Huskies. Now Dan Hurley and Todd Golden have done this as well. So I don't know, do I overreact and get rid of it, or do I just say, hey, well, there's still got three exceptions, that's it.
Maybe it's just a lighter footnote or something.
It's going to be a monitor of the situation, I think.
Yeah, okay.
But anyway, I think it was worth putting in the resolutions, right, to keep it an eye on that. Mm, and then the other ones are very similar to what I had before that we just went over. Those are carryovers from the previous one. Talking about, you know, lightly bet markets like College World Series, information-based markets like the drafts, MLB monthlies. Oh, here's one to the MLB monthlies. And continue to exploit the working theory that showing up for the NBA playoffs may in fact be a positive for me. I've always contended that for the non-NBA hardos, sometimes showing up for the NBA playoffs is a positive because you are not colored by 82 games of something that will not actually play out that way come playoff time because coaches handle it differently. So there's that. And then, of course, the bottom two, Kelly, remain true to the ANG brand. Interact, continue to interact with the best listeners of any show ever. You, sir.
For Shizzle. Let's see, 2025 first. Thank you, Wyatt. I was scrambling to find mine. Hey, look at this first one. Every day, workout, check out NBA. Nailed that one, Gil! Totally forgot about this.
Did you know about the old Shotsky at the beginning of last year?
What's that?
The workout part and the loss, the weight loss.
I had already started.
Okay.
Yeah. I would say I was a few months into heavy, like hitting the gym heavy again. But okay. I did a good job with that in 2025. So,
all right.
Good on me. Okay, NBA, this was just more getting more specific on things that I'm doing. Stick to the process with size and total, block out noise. A lot of that was stick to what I do best. I don't. There's a lot of attractive markets that we hear thrown out and things that you want to look at more. Start with what I would do best and then kind of carry it on from there. Now, the third one, don't be a coward, bet more alts. This is what I heard Andy Mulder bring this up like a month ago. I think I brought it up on the show with you and Will. I think when Will was on. Such an easy thing to say, by the way. Such an easy thing to say. How much do we actually do?
You really have to be deliberate about
it. You really do. Yeah. So I'm going to kind of say, all right, you know, I did not stick to that betting resolution. And now that I look back at it, I'm more okay with it, I guess, than I was. NBA player props, this one is going to be a carryover for me. This is inexcusable. I don't dig deeper on these more and do more with player props. I get too wrapped up sides and totals and what I do live in the NBA. Absolutely more that can be accomplished there and should be. And golf, more round by round betting. Too much that I do before the tournament and a Friday or Saturday rolls around. I could look into these third round matchups or something. I'm too busy with something else. I don't want to do it. Those ones, absolute carryovers to 2026.
Did you do that, in fact?
No, that's what I'm saying. Oh. I'm going to carry over. Okay. I would say the golf more so than the NBA player props, but absolutely even more of that needs to be a focus in 2026. So those are, if we go over to 2026. Now, look, every day, workout, NBA, just need to keep doing that through the NBA season. That's all I'm trying to do. Make sure I hit the gym and then get prep for NBA that night. Player props and golf, as I mentioned, those remain from 2025, carryovers to 2026, areas I can continue to do better in for sure. Pick up WNBA betting. You and I have talked about this a lot. Really, just because of lack of some stat sites that I lean on heavily for NBA is why I don't do much with WNBA. It's kind of a weak cop-out. It's something I can do more on. Start the NFL draft prep. What are we waiting for, Gil? We've been sitting here for three months saying, like,
capital letters.
In capital letters, man. I'm a little upset with myself. And then the biggest one, I'm running out of time. Ain't going to let me play blackjack. Just get out of the casino. I had a great year of video poker, but also gave a lot back. We're going to get more taxed here in 2026. Just not worth the time in these ways.
Kelly Bidlin, betting resolutions. Coming back with more NFL next.